Leo Quinones is the film freak.
Come, son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod! Snoochie boochies.
Don't want to waste any time. In studio with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
Hello.
Telling you about an art show you should know about and you should go to. I mean, how many times you can go and hang out with one of your favorite filmmakers?
Don't even go to hang out with me, dude. Go to see the pieces. Because you go to buy them if you can, but definitely go to look at them because they're just... If this piece, the original piece that's kind of created for the invite, is any indication of what's to come, look at that. That is a geek's wet dream right there.
You are in
that
there
with
icons.
That is the Mona Lisa of geek art.
Look at
that collection.
And being an icon, and I understand that there are some action figures available in your likeness.
Yes.
You know.
Some, dude. My kid through college with how many action figures I've made of myself.
Have you ever seen any fans send you something online where they've mutilated them?
No, not yet, but thanks
really?
For putting that idea
to.
Out there into the world. Because now somebody in the internet will be like, "Yeah, that's I never thought of that."
Well, you
man.
Know, I'm thinking like Sid from Toy Story. You know, he takes him out to that, puts him on a rocket, shoots him in the air.
I have yet to see the picture of the Silent Bob figure immersed face first in a pile of dog dew.
Well, you know,
but now it's coming, dude.
And another thing I really, really dig about Kevin Smith is you know, he's got the Secret Stash in Westwood. It's a cool store.
And some great Red Bank, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
We've got two. We're by Coastal. So.
Love it. And you got
totally
the
buy.
And you got these bloody, stumpy wigs, wings from Dogma. But your philosophy on autographs, because you can walk in there and literally buy everything, you must have a carpal tunnel in your right hand.
I do have a little bit from that, a little bit from masturbation, a little bit from writing.
Well, let's go with the writing.
Let's
go with the writing.
I think the autograph at this point must be worthless because I've signed so many things. I mean, the autograph is based on limited availability, and mine is just like, I sign more stuff than Matt Groening signs.
What is your philosophy? What drives you to do that?
I don't know. Just people ask, and people seem to want it. I mean, believe me, the moment there's no demand for it, nobody's asking, I would be more than happy to stop. Because it's not even a pretty signature.
And you don't charge for it?
No. I mean, if they're buying something, if they're at the store and they buy a DVD, we sell the DVD for like whatever the list price is, and I just tag it. But it's not like we charge an extra few bucks because I've signed it. It's not like when you go to a show. Like, I remember right when Phantom Menace was coming out, if you went to any comic book show,
sure.
Ray Park, the dude who played Darth Maul,
oh, yeah.
50 bones just to get in a line to get that dude's signature. I'm like, he's buried under makeup. Like, it's not like getting, you know, Harrison Ford's signature. It's Ray Park.
Yeah, I almost got hooked in by Adam West. Hey, are you an actor? How are you? I'm Adam. These are 25 if you'd like one. And he had a total scam going.
I got no judgment against it. I just, there before the grace of God go I. And perhaps one day I've got to put a, you know, roof over my head or put clothes on my kid's back. So I might wind up as being one of those dudes being like, yeah, it was $50 for that signature.
Ever get rushed at a convention? Fanboy rush?
Yes.
Give me a story.
That's the only place where I will get rushed. Anywhere else in the world, no. But at a convention, at a Comic-Con, that's kind of where I'm Marilyn Monroe to some degree. That's where
what
I can
happens?
Get laid. I can get laid at a Comic-Con. Basically by a bunch of dudes, but still.
You know? Hey, Johnny Drum in a Viking suit, it's all right with me.
Pretty much.
Talking in studio with Kevin Smith, the Crazy for Cult Art Show. And it's coming up. It's going to be Tuesday, July 17th. It's going to be...
And it runs for a while. Like, July 17th is a kickoff event that mm-hmm. night. That's when they open it to the public. Everyone gets to see the pieces for the first time. Me and Scott will be there. I know Edgar Wright's coming. Dude from Shaun of the Dead. Richard Kelly from Donnie Darko is going to come there as well. And if Edgar's going, that might mean maybe Quentin shows up too, because I'm sure there'll be some Pulp Fiction themed pieces.
Hold on.
It's a wet dream, sir, isn't it? What's that?
These are Quentin Tarantino's pants.
I don't even want to know how you got them, dude. I do. I actually want to know the story.
I'll
kicked him out of my bed.
I'll tell you later.
There it is. But yeah, so there'll be a bunch of people there on the 17th, but then the show runs until when, Jensen? Until August 10th. So if you can't make it that night, you can come anytime. But I mean, the time to make it is that night, especially if in the market to buy some art, because after that night, you know everything's going to go.
And there's over 120 pieces that are going to be there. And you take plastic, right, Jensen?
We do.
Yeah, okay, nicely done.
Jensen is tied in with the art community in a big bad way. And it's so off topic, but I got to ask, dude, do you know any of the artists who are doing those limited edition Simpsons Van shoes?
Yes.
Can you hook me up? You would imagine I could hook myself up. Can't do it. Can't do it. They're doing a limited run. I think it's like 16 different pairs. I mean, they'll make multiples of each, but they're like $100 a pop of Vans, various Vans, like slip-ons and ties. But
have you done the Simpsons?
I've seen artists doing Simpsons themed vans.
Right.
But they're only available in like 8 stores. They come out on July 14th, and they're only available in certain stores. And I, you know, I'll, if I have to wait in the line, I will. But if this dude knows some cats, I'm going to try to score off Jensen.
So you're actually.
That's what I try to score. Some people are like, get me some crystal meth. And I'm like, can you get me a pair of Simpsons vans?
See,
because that'll really help
Kevin,
me get
this
laid.
Kevin, this is where it starts. The access to some of the cool swag. You know, you've been up to Skywalker, you've probably been on movie sets. So what is maybe you can say my top three swag things that I, you know, there's so many cool things like this. This is live. Kevin does not know what's in here, but I guarantee you'll know once you open it. Check this out.
I'm so scared.
You should be scared.
Soul Glow. Wow, man.
How about that?
That's pretty astounding. Where'd you get it?
A prop auction, Premier Props, and it's like a, it's not even real. Now, does anyone know what movie? If anyone on can find out what
can
movie
I
it is,
it?
Yeah, go for it.
Coming to America.
Coming
dude.
To America, and it's a wood lathe that's not even real. But you know, I have this love for movie props. So, what have you stolen or kept from your own productions?
Well, basically, from about Chasing Amy Forward, we started keeping everything.
Nice.
Like, the first one movie we made, we didn't have any props because everything belonged to the store. Second movie we made, which was Mallrats, when we were done, the studio kept everything, and we never thought to say, can we have it? Because it was just, we were so new to the business.
Sure.
That we were like, I guess that's what they do. They take the stuff and walk away. From Chasing Amy Forward. But then what happened was all our wardrobe just got sold at a studio garage sale of sorts. So somebody is walking around with like the original wardrobe that Jason Lee wore in that movie. Which broke my heart. And from that movie forward, Chasing Amy Forward, I was like, we're going to get all that. We're keeping everything. And every once in a while, I get a phone call from like Miramax archive people going like, yeah, do you still have that Buddy Christ statue? I was like, yes, goodbye. You know. So basically, and that's what the nice thing about the comic book stores, the Jane, Silent Bob Secret Stash is we just get to showcase all that stuff and put it up there.
Yeah.
But in terms of like all the props I've got, like we've got the Buddy Christ statue from Dogman. That's pretty cool. But the prize prop possession for me is when we were shooting Clerks 2, we had to swap out the quick stop sign to put up a fake fire damage one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And while it was down, I offered the toppers who own the not just the building but also Quick Stop and RST Video. I said, let me have a new sign made for you and give me the original sign. They were like, totally. So now I got that back at the Secret Stash on the East Coast, like the Quick Stop sign that I used to labor under and built a career under, really.
How do you explain a guy owning
I'm gonna use your Soul Glow towel to wipe up my sweat.
How do you explain a guy with a Soul Glow bottle and a sign like that and try and be cool? There's no way to even try to be cool, right?
To be cool with
to owning this stuff.
It's a huge market, man, those props. There's this organization, I forget, God, what are they called? Profiles in History?
Yeah.
Where you go online and you can, they auction off like movie props and usually costumes and whatnot that go for obscene amounts of money.
Yeah, next Saturday night I'm going to be broadcasting from Premier Props Hollywood Roadshow. And check this out.
Have you gotten, what is that?
This is the actual
Team America
jet thing. They're going to be auctioning this off, and it's HollywoodRoadshow.com. I'm doing a live show from there,
right.
And they've got Quentin Tarantino's. You know, here's his cigarettes from Grindhouse, and very, very cool. But you know, I'm a geek like that. I'm just going to tell you right now, Kevin. You know, so
you're a prop man.
I'm a prop man. Why the hell not? But it's a lot of fun. Let's go to the phones. We're talking with Kevin Smith, Scott Mosier. Let's go. Eddie's got something he wants to disclose. Eddie from Sherman Oaks, you're on with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, Kevin, I've been a fan for a long time. I've really enjoyed your team's work and everything that you've done, and I don't think I've laughed harder every time when I've seen everything in the theaters. But the funniest thing I think I've ever heard is the negative press or publicity that people have always said about Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
And I've owned
that
Jersey
was funny
Girl.
To me, too, as you might imagine.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, here's my take on it. I've had Jersey Girl since it came out, and just like everything else that you've done on DVD, and it's been sitting on my wall to watch with a million other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, I said, you know, I had heard one of the things that Leo did, I guess it was a rebroadcast where you were on before, and you were talking about a possible extended version of it, and I'm like, you know what, I got to see this movie because people just rip on it.
Yeah.
And I love all your work. Well, we watched it, and it's phenomenal.
Thank you.
You know,
sir.
I would have to agree with you in saying that Affleck
is the
man.
It's not the compliment I usually get. The compliment I most frequently get on Jersey Girl is that movie didn't suck as bad as everyone said it did. That's about the high praise usually get. But that's really sweet to hear, man. I appreciate that.
Right on. Well, if you want to get on the air, it's toll free, 888-520-9710. That's 888-520-9710. As Kevin enjoys his Adam Carolla Danny Bonaducci water.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, man. Apparently, anybody can get on a bottle of water. Distributed by My Custom Water. I might give these cats a call, man. Put out some Jane Silent Bob.
Yeah, you should get into marketing
water.
A little more.
I mean, everyone needs water, right, to survive? I don't know. I was going about it the wrong way with action figures. I should really just be marketing things people need, like oxygen and water.
Here we are with Kevin Smith in studio. It's
Let's
seven.
Grab Lewis.
Lewis. All right. Lewis in L.A., you're on the Film Freak Show with Mr. Kevin Smith.
Hello?
You're on, buddy.
Hey, what's up? I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. But the question I had was a really simple question. Now, I just want to kind of clarify before I ask the question. The website, I wasn't able to hear it correctly. I don't know if I did. It was www.gallery1988.com?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't hear a .org, and I wanted to clarify that.
Oh, it's .com.
Okay, great.
Glad we got that cleared up. It only took 4 minutes.
Well, no, that wasn't the question.
Okay.
The question is that dealing with, like, genres and art, what's your favorite period? Because you mentioned that you don't really know anything about Impressionism. But, I mean, like, your favorite period, I think it was pop art, but what's your favorite artist?
I'd probably put Keith Haring just a little bit ahead of Andy Warhol, just because I could probably afford more Keith Haring art than Andy Warhol art. You got to have a lot of cash to be able to own a Warhol, but I've got a Keith Haring piece which I'm pretty proud of.
Wow! So how do you go out when you visit different cities? Are you actively going to different art galleries?
Never. It just kind of happens. You know, if you see something, you're in a gallery and you're like, oh my god, I would totally like to own that. And it's all price based for me. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that'll throw a huge pile of money at owning, like, you know, a Warhol. That's a house to me. I'd much rather buy another house, and I don't want to even own another house. So I don't want to spend that much on a can of soup, although I would like to have it.
Do you like those martini olive things? I love those.
Yeah, they're okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
But I would spend, like, I have spent a bunch of money. Like, there's a guy, an artist by the name of Gottfried Helnlein. Not really a pop artist. He's a guy that did...
Look at you.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams, like,
yeah.
that painting.
With or without the neon?
Without the neon.
Without the neon.
But he did a lot of Rolling Stone covers. He did a cover for a Scorpions album, I believe it was. The one with the dude got, like, bent spoons or forks over his eyes, all bandaged up, from the 80s, like, hardcore metal album. But I went to a gallery show that Jason Lee had hosted, because he knows that dude. And he did these massive panel paintings of children's faces that were really awesome. But I was like, I don't want some Randy kid's face in my house.
Sure.
Like, if I'm going to get one, I would like him to do my kid. And so we kind of commissioned him to do a big painting of my kid's face, akin to the ones that he had painted.
Really?
And it's amazing. It's in our house, and it's about 12 feet high or something like that, Scott?
Yeah, like 12, 13
8 to 12 feet high, and it's about 6 feet wide, and it's this massive portrait of her, a close-up of her face. And when people come in, they're like, wow, what a great photo. And you're like, just move in closer, because it's so photorealistic.
Hmm.
And then you move in, like, very close to it, and you start seeing the brush strokes and whatnot. It's a pretty amazing piece. So it's stuff that, like, grabs me. He also did some Disney pieces that I bought at one point. Like,
what
one
characters?
Called LA Confidential, where it's like two cops from the 50s standing over a dead body that has Donald Duck's head on it, which I thought was kind of cute.
Uh-huh.
And he did this big portrait of close-up of a Mickey Mouse figurine called Dark Mickey or Blue Mickey, and that's pretty big. That hangs in our house, too.
So I'm going back to the picture of your daughter. Was it a source picture?
He took a bunch of pictures of her,
wow.
And she also did sittings as well. But, like, I've got a photo of him painting it, and, you know, it's like basically the canvas is twice the size of him. So it's pretty astounding. It's breathtaking, really, walking the house. And no matter how old or fat that kid gets, we always have that frozen in time image of her.
How old is she?
She's 8. She just turned 8 last week.
So, responsible dad movie monitor.
I'm the bad one. I'm the one that's just like, let's watch Gremlins. And then, like, my wife kind of bitches at me for the next few weeks because the kid can't sleep well because she's afraid of the Mogwai.
No, the bad Phoebe Kate scene in the middle.
If there's that, where she starts talking about her father and Christmas in the chimney. But I just remember watching those movies when I was a kid, and I guess my parents weren't that responsible, because I was able to watch. Like, they took me to see Jaws at a drive-in when I was 5 years old. And, you know, I keep arguing with my wife about, like, every kid should see Jaws by the age of five. Like, it's just, it's formative. It makes you who you are. She's like, when was the last time you went in the ocean? I'm like, when I was five.
You're effed up when you go to the beach, right?
Yeah, I'm not a beach goer. Based on that movie alone, I can't stand going in the
water. It's so true. I mean, you know, and you have the same thing with convenience stores. A lot of people won't go in anymore.
Based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a break here. We're in studio with Kevin Smith. We're going to be talking about the Crazy for Cult art show he's hosting. Kevin Smith hosting an art show. It's going to be classy and a good time. If you want to get on the air.
Jess, is the booze free?
Is the booze free?
Yeah.
You might want to clarify that. Some people have been asking, like, free booze, I'm going.
Yeah. No drink.
Right. So the booze is free until it's gone, yeah. And then you're on your own.
And we don't advocate drinking and driving, so we'll be right back.
Nobody drives in L.A., dude. They all walk.
Well, there's going to be a lot of rapid transit, maybe. So let's have a good time. We'll continue. Don't go away. The Film Freak Show, live, online, and on the air. Don't move.